I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network, New World Report, with my colleagues, Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature, and Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society. We turn immediately to the concerns along the Colombia-Venezuela border. You will recall the last time we all three spoke together, Maria had sent to me kindly video of heavy fighting along the Colombia-Venezuela border, very heavy fighting. Men in camouflage costumes, uniforms apparently, with heavy weaponry, skilled, attacking what appeared to be a village or a series of huts in a heavy jungle environment. What I learned from Maria and Joseph was that this is routine along the border. Who's fighting? Maybe the Venezuelan military, maybe elements of the FARC group, that's the terror group that's said to have been integrated into Colombia's society. However, Maria then informed me that these are narco-trafficker gangs competing for the profits of the smuggling in the region. The cocaine crop is larger than ever now in Colombia, throughout South America. And the fighting is ferocious because that cocaine is headed north to the United States. Not only migrants are making their way to the United States and across the border, but so are the narco traffickers and their contraband. So this week I turned to a very sad, tragic story from the Wall Street Journal for Maria to help us understand. It's Dateline Puerto Cachicamo, Colombia. The pandemic closed the only school in this remote hamlet, writes the Wall Street Journal reporter Kajal Vias. Long a stronghold for Marxist guerrillas, this Puerto Cachicamo. With no internet connection for virtual classes, 16-year-old Dana Montilla told her family she was leaving to find work, but instead authorities say she joined a narco-trafficking rebel group. Last month, Colombia's military bombarded the group's jungle camp, killing Dana, another underage girl, and 10 others. Residents have said her death underscored a grim reality. Armed gangs have found fresh recruits from an ample pool of youths who, like Donna, have been out of school because of the coronavirus pandemic. Maria, this is obviously a tragedy, but it underlines what you have identified as out-of-control fighting and battling along your border. Is this a concern in the capital? Is this something that anybody can do something about, or is it just the way of the world in the pandemic? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. What happens in the frontier is awful because we are a country that shares more than 2,200 kilometers with Venezuela. Even though we have the common origins, the common history, you know, the ethnicity, the Hispanic colonization, then the liberty, because it's Simon Bolivar who freed all of us, Venezuela came to be a very rich country because of oil. And at that time, Colombia, people from Colombia migrated 40 years ago. So it's about 5 million Colombian people who travel to Venezuela to get a better life or to gain enough money to return and buy a home or whatever you can do to live better. But it was always a tense relation among a rich country and a poor country like us. However, we never, never in our minds thought that Venezuela, ruled by a crazy Hugo Chavez, was going to be a communist country who destroyed all the richness and the living of their citizens. So Colombia started receiving migrants that today are over 2 million, half illegal, half legal. And despite all the Colombian efforts, you know that it's very hard for us to help our poor and to help the Venezuelan migrants. And if you add on to this, what is happening today, that Colombia is a path for migrants and for illegal migrants to cross the Caribbean and to cross it and get into the Panama border, which is a jungle called El Darién, and cross it because people that are completely poor are used by the smugglers to carry cocaine. And they think that they're going to make the American dream, traveling all the way, you know, traveling, walking it with their families. So this is a tragedy, but also you get a tragedy increase because Hugo Chavez and now Maduro has been helping the Colombian guerrilla in their territory. And today it's a disaster because there are fights and the fights are keep going on. And what happened is that when they get a camp with guerrillas and the military aircraft bomb the camp, usually they find children because these children has been recruited, has been kidnapped by the guerrilla group. So this story that you are telling is frequently known in Colombia. Now it's taking as an ideological and as a human rights argument against the government. But what people have to point out is why guerrillas recruit children and keep recruiting children. This lady came from a very far zone called Guaviare, which is in the oriental part of Colombia. Many people are indigenous, and they have been caught by the guerrilla, and they are used. They are used for war, and they are used for sex. So what happened to this girl is not just her. It has been happening very, very long time ago. It's very well known, and it's the truth that the world has to know.
Joseph, because I want to understand the scale of this, the Biden administration and the Trump administration before were looking at what is called the Northern Triangle, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, as the origin, as the basis for the migration to the American border that overwhelmed the border authorities. But what I'm learning from Maria and from this article in the Wall Street Journal and our conversations these last weeks is that the problem is not limited to Central America. It reaches into South America and in particular Venezuela. Caracas, the Maduro regime, is the author of these narco-terrorists who recruit children or kidnap children, leading to the Colombia military defending itself and this scale of tragedy. Does the Biden administration, does CENTCOM, do they know about this? Can they act upon it? I know there was some effort to dislodge Maduro, but is there anything short of regime change that can answer this or bring this to the attention of larger bodies?
Well, John, I think that you're 100% correct that this issue beyond the border is very layered. There's one layer that obviously comes from Central America. That's the current crisis because of the mass migration flow that's coming from those three specific countries, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. But then if you extend further into Latin America, particularly South America, there's all kinds of border crisis, immigration crisis. We can't forget that the largest immigration outflow, the largest mass migration movement in the Western Hemisphere comes from Venezuela. 5.5 million migrants have left that country since 2014, as Senator Cabal was mentioning, the disaster that's been the socialist policies of Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro after him. Now, I guess thankfully for the United States, that hasn't quite affected the U.S. in terms of our border, although we have a lot of Venezuelans that have come to the United States, but most of them come into Florida, most of them come into New York. They come through air, but eventually it could hit the border, and it's already starting to trickle. And what I say that is because the only thing that stops the land migrants from coming to the border is because of the infrastructure. It's not a land traversed movement to go from South America to Central America, as Senator Cabal was mentioning. The Darien Gap is a jungle. You got to go through small boats into Nicaragua and Costa Rica. So most of these Venezuelan migrants have been pushing south into Colombia, then Ecuador, then Peru, Chile, all the way down to Argentina. However, the infrastructure, the capacity of the other South American countries that have been receiving the vast majority of these Venezuelan migrants, they're at their capacity. They can't handle any more. Chile, just a couple of months ago, kicked out some Venezuelan migrants that were coming, and they stopped them at their border and sent them back, which is a bit cruel, but it shows that their lack of capacity for this level of migration. Eventually, once these countries in South America stop receiving migrants from Venezuela, they're going to push north. And I've said this before, and it's worth repeating, that when the Venezuelan migration problem connects with the Haitian migration problem, connects with the Central American migration problem, we're going to have the worst immigration crisis that we have ever seen in the Western Hemisphere. That is what the Biden administration needs to prepare for, because that is not an unlikely scenario. That is a scenario that's in flux, that's currently happening. And the worst border situation that we have in the region is the Colombia-Venezuela border. That is a border that's gone beyond just a humanitarian crisis and is moving into an armed conflict by irregular actors.
Maria, I check with you, Senator. Does the fighting along the border threaten the stability of your country? What is the opinion in Bogota?
It does not challenge directly the stability, but it warns our authorities, because Venezuela can move their bombing inside our country. And Venezuela several times has argued against us, and has argued against our government, saying that we are causing problems to them. So what we need is to be aware all the time of what they are doing. They promote migration because they know that's another way of make our country unstable. They promote Chavez that came also with the migrants, not just the regular people, but we know that there are Chavez that are from the colectivos, the people who are armed by Maduro's government, and they got here, and they are the one who play a role in all these riots in the urban area. So Venezuela, for us and for the whole continent, is a real threat.
I'm speaking with Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She is in Bogota. She's traveling now in North America. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, also traveling in North America, in a much better climate than I'm living in a cold Connecticut. However, we're going to turn to the sunny shores of Mexico. Part of the story of this great migration is Mexico and AMLO, a socialist who is tight-fisted. And how is the Mexican economy in the pandemic? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.